This is Jordan Seculo. Israel escalates strikes on Iran-backed militants.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. On a somber note, let us recognize the attack that led to 11 innocent people being killed on Saturday in Pittsburgh at a house of worship, an anti-Semitic attack, an attack that has left six injured as well, some critical, including law enforcement officials, by a single gunman who is in custody now facing 29 federal charges that could result in the death sentence, as well as 35 state offenses. Of course, that won't bring back any of those lost on this horrendous attack that happened over the weekend. And so we have to acknowledge that, condemn the anti-Semitism, which we know is a issue the world has dealt with for really since the beginning of time, and is something that is in our own country as well. And we have to realize it and condemn it whenever we see it. And of course, try and make sure that by doing so, these kind of attacks are prevented. And again, so we just we can say our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with those in the Pittsburgh area, specifically with the Tree of Life Synagogue, their members in Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh, and to law enforcement officials as well. Again, this is a horrendous situation that we have to recognize before on our broadcast today, before moving on to other news that is happening here in the United States and around the world. But I do want to recognize that. And I'll go to Wes Smith, who's a retired colonel from the U.S. military, but also in the chaplain's corps. And Wes, this is a time when the people there are grieving, obviously. It's a horrendous attack that happened on this community.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. It's indicative of their different pockets of our population where hate is the dominant emotion and motivator. But on the other hand, it's also the response across the board from coast to coast is also indicative that the American people, by and large, are a decent and kind people. They're shocked and angered when they see things like this. It was a cowardly attack on innocent people who were simply exercising their First Amendment rights of free expression of religion, free exercise of religion. And it's just very sad. On the other hand, you know, and this, it's sad, and the people are grief-stricken. America agrees with them. The president ordered flags to be flown at half-staff. But it was interesting to see how in Pittsburgh that it united the Christian, Jewish, and Muslim community, and that those three major religions, you know, were leading the vigil last night to mourn the loss of these people in this violent attack.
Yeah, we too often have seen attacks on places of houses of worship, churches in Texas. We've seen the attack now in Pittsburgh. And we know specifically there is an issue with anti-Semitism. I mean, that is an issue that the U.S. has had to deal with, that other countries deal with in Europe, that has really been dealt with since the beginning of time. In fact, the main topic we are going to focus on today, as you heard in the tease of the broadcast, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, is the escalation by Israel in their response to Iranian-backed groups, both in the Gaza Strip but also in Syria, and how the White House is backing Israeli involvement. I think you will be surprised we come back from the break about how much Israel is doing in Syria. And what's interesting to note is it's not just Western Syria, which borders Israel, but much deeper into the country, even in Eastern Syria. Damascus, even while civil war is ongoing, is really a headquarters for many of the Palestinian and Iranian-backed terror groups. You'll see that they are headquartered in Damascus, like the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, responsible for 30 rocket attacks on Israel just this weekend. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. The White House backing Israel's efforts. That's 1-800-684-3110. For those in the Pittsburgh area, for anyone affected by what happened at the synagogue, again, our thoughts and prayers are with you. We have to combat anti-Semitism in our country. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we acknowledge, pray for, and those affected by at the Tree of Life Synagogue and the shooting, condemning anti-Semitism, and understanding that as an organization, we do a lot to condemn, you know, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement in the United States. A lot of this anti-Semitism on college campuses, which is exactly what it is, in the form of being anti-Israel, and these distinctions that these groups try to make, which are just absurd. Again, something as an organization we combat, something as individuals we should all combat, and acknowledge it is an issue that's been in the United States, as it is in most of the world, unfortunately, since the beginning of time. And today on the broadcast, we're actually focusing in on what Israel has been doing in response to attacks on the Jewish state of Israel. I think it's a unique time to point out that there has been an escalation over the weekend. In fact, just this weekend in Israel, out of the Gaza Strip, so targeted Israel, 30 rockets were fired by Gaza-based militants. Now, this group is called Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or sometimes just referred to as Islamic Jihad. Now, Israel, as a government, holds Hamas responsible for Islamic Jihad's activities. And Hamas and Islamic Jihad work together often. But there are times when they are separate. And so you'll see that Islamic Jihad is also based in Damascus. It's where a lot of their leaders are headquartered to get protection so that they are not actually in harm's way directly. And so their leadership there, you see Hamas leadership, Muslim Brotherhood leadership, both groups emanating, by the way, from the Muslim Brotherhood, out from Hamas. But interesting enough, even though it's coming out of the Sunni world, getting a lot of its funding from the Shia world in Iran. So first, let's talk this weekend. I'll go to Harry Hutchinson. Harry, this weekend we saw really an escalation, just specifically between Islamic Jihad and Israel. So this comes out of the Gaza Strip, but 30 rockets being fired at the state of Israel, and then Israel responding back with specific attacks on 80 targets.
Absolutely. So this is an important and ominous development. These attacks coming from Gaza suggest that Hamas is working with the Islamic Jihad, it's working with Syria, And ultimately, it's working with Iran, which is the source of much of the mischief in the Middle East. So in response to provocation, essentially by Iran and its surrogates, including the Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah militants in Syria, Israel has conducted an aggressive military campaign across Syria against Iran-backed militia groups and in Gaza. This is highly necessary. Israel cannot allow these militants to build up an arsenal as a basis of continued attacks on Israel, and it could lead ultimately to another outbreak of a small or perhaps a large war.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, again, organizations that emanate out of, again, the primarily here you've got the Gaza Strip, though the Islamic Jihad group, unlike Hamas, operates pretty heavily in the West Bank as well. So that is why they are, though Hamas, because they are the governing power in the Gaza Strip. So if these rockets are launched, Israel holds Hamas responsible for not preventing the rockets from being launched by these other groups, and sometimes working in tandem. So I know that, again, it's the Middle East, things can get complicated, but understand the Islamic Jihad group also operates in the West Bank, controlled by the PLO, or the Palestinian Authority. And so but what is unique to what kind of ties them all together is the funding that they receive from Iran, and specifically Iran's Revolutionary Guard Forces. Where do those funds flow through? They flow through Damascus. Now, even at a time when you would imagine that Syria is extremely unstable, that has been one of the headquarters for these Islamic, Palestinian Islamic terror groups. And so, Wes, we're seeing an increase not just between attacks in the Gaza Strip and Israel, but specifically over just the past 18 months, an escalation of what Israel is doing in Syria and targeting Iranian forces there. I mean, one of their primary goals is to prevent Iran from having a kind of an occupying force inside Syria.
Yeah, exactly. Over the last 18 months, Israel has launched, they think, about 200 airstrikes in Syria. And what really Israel is trying to do, they're trying to head off what would be a major, major war in the Middle East. And they're doing that through these air attacks. First of all, they're trying to stop Iran from having a permanent military base near the Israeli border. They're trying to head off a major war because they realize that if Iran had a permanent presence there, they vowed to destroy Israel. Or if they could increase weaponry to Hezbollah in Lebanon, that again could lead to a major war. And they're trying to block weapon shipments coming to Lebanon. There are a lot of ground convoys going through Iraq across Syria to Lebanon to arm Hezbollah and also to arm Iranian-backed militias. So Israel's trying to stop that. But the frightening thing, you were talking about the missiles being fired from the Gaza Strip. Just last week, Israeli intelligence released a report that once again, Iran is using civilian airliners to ship weapons and weapons components. The missiles that have been fired from Gaza into Israel and from Lebanon into Israel, they have not been guided missiles. They're sort of lobbed into the territory, hoping that they will hit something. However, last week, it was revealed that some of these civilian planes are now delivering sophisticated guidance systems to Hezbollah so they can take these guidance systems, install it in the missiles, so that they can actually pinpoint specific targets in Israel. That is a major game changer in this conflict. Iran is really behaving in a dangerous and reckless fashion. And the terror groups that you and Harry talked about, they could not do what they do without the financial support of Iran and also the weapons that are supplied to these groups by Iran. Iran, they try to use their proxies so they can have plausible deniability,
right.
But their goal is the destruction of the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and they receive guidance. You know, it's not like they just give all these resources to them and say, okay, do what you want. They're coming with that. That's kind of the carrot so that Iran is able to control these groups, whether it's Hezbollah or you're talking about a group like Islamic Jihad or even Hamas. They want to be able to control them and their actions. So they do this, you talk about the weapons as incentives, but understand Iran's role in this. I think just to underscore what Wes is talking about, using the civilian aircraft, as a military, a way of delivering military goods to recognized terror organizations. Take a listen to General Jack Keane as well. He was discussing how this has been uncovered. This is something newly uncovered that Iran has started to do.
What's happening is Iran is very aggressive because Syria means so much to them. So they fly on chartered airplanes or their military aircraft into Damascus, missiles, ammunition, commodities. They also use commercial airlines to do the very same thing. And then they're driving through Iraq into eastern Syria and bringing also ammunition and supplies through that.
The White House has said that, quote, Iran and Hezbollah cannot be allowed to build an arsenal of weapons on Israel's border that threatens the region. You know, we have this a question that came in. It's an interesting one, Harry, on Facebook. And then we will get to your phone calls as well. We got callers holding on as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. But a caller who called in who said, besides the United States, which countries in the Middle East back Israel against terror groups supported by Iran? It's a complicated question because countries that do not support Israel would also don't support Iran in the Gulf states. Now, some have more behind the scenes been supportive of Israel, but certainly this again shows you that this question, it could be an entire thesis on the Middle East.
Absolutely. You could certainly write a number of books on Middle East politics. I think it's clear beyond question that the public posture of most Middle Eastern countries is one of opposition to Israel. On the other hand, based on real politic and the strategic implications of allowing Iran to run rampant in the Middle East, many of the same Middle Eastern countries which publicly oppose Israel are actually working covertly with Israeli authorities to thwart Iran. And this is highly necessary because Iranians are acting as masterminds of much of the conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, well,
that is something we need to address strategically. Israel is working on that as we speak.
When we come back, we will play for you over the weekend Iran's foreign minister putting Israel and Saudi Arabia in the same category, and the U.S. support in relationship and working with Israel and Saudi Arabia. Not something you would typically hear, but you would understand based on what Harry's just talking about there, that in this question, this idea of who is, other than the U.S. and Israel, are against these Iranian terror groups. And you see Iran will even lump in a Saudi Arabia now with Israel. So we will play that for you. That's Iran's foreign minister. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls. Get them in now. 1-800-684-3110. How important is this issue to you in the elections?
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Kind of getting you up to speed on what is happening in the world, the Middle East, specifically with Israel and the expansion of military operations by Israel into Syria in response to what's happened from groups that are operating inside the Gaza Strip, like Islamic Jihad, but it all emanating for out of Damascus via Iran. Who is using its proxy forces like Hezbollah to be very active now that there's been this civil unrest in Syria, to a point where both Israel and the United States are concerned not just about the arms buildup by Iran in Syria and the arms buildup to groups like Hezbollah or Islamic Jihad or Hamas, but also the idea that the Iranians may use the unrest in Syria and their support for the Assad government. And now that ISIS, you know, ISIS was kind of this factor that both the United States and Iran were fighting. Neither were supportive. Iran for, you know, these religious reasons, political reasons as well. But now that it's not as much of a factor, there's concern that Iran may actually establish a more permanent military force. So not just like its unique guards force, but a more permanent military base inside Syria, which is a threat to the United States, but, you know, obviously is a threat to Israel as well. So just over the past 18 months, this doesn't get discussed as much in the news, but I think it's important. I mean, we have a lot going on in our country, but this affects our national security. Just in the past 18 months, Israel has struck about 200 targets inside Syria. That is unique, folks, because typically Syria would be responding, you know, it's through its own military, but it can't right now. It's too weak to respond to the Israeli forces. And because it's really in areas that the Syrian government has, to a certain extent, lost control or ceded control to groups or countries like Iran, who have said, basically, you can run this area. And so there have been, in the past 18 months, 200 target attacks by Israel inside Syria. And it's also, I think, important to point out, this isn't just on the border areas that's unique to the, you know, Israel and Syria and kind of the demilitarized zone, but far into eastern Syria as well. So we're taking your phone calls about it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phone. Stephen in Washington State on line one. Stephen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jake. Thank you for having me on your show. Let me give you readers a little bit of background about me. I'm an analyst with the Association of Strategic Analysis. I wrote my first book on Iran in 2006 during the war in Israel. It's called Tehran's War of Terror and its Nuclear Delivery Capability. It was published in 2007. It's still being sold on Amazon. Okay. And a few other books that are being sold. But I think you're really hitting a very important subject, but I want to flesh out some things that you may or may not know. First of all, Israel turned over the Gaza Strip to Hamas. The same arguments that are being used today for a two-state solution was used to create the Palestinian state in Gaza. Israel forcibly removed some 10,000 Israelis from Gaza and handed it over to the Palestinians. Now, it became a launch pad for war. Hamas took over the Iranian-backed Hamas. But what people don't know is how long Hamas has been tied to Iran. It goes clear back to the time of Khomeini.
Now, let me jump in, Stephen, because I want to give out, there's a lot of information here for people. Hamas is an organization that has existed for much longer than it's been as well known, because it was not also in control of a territory. So it became, like Hezbollah, to some extent, Wes, this idea that for the U.S. military, they're not just a terror group hiding within a state or within a territory, but they are now running a specific territory. They are the government of an area, whether you believe that they are legitimate or illegitimate. So they have, these groups have moved on through how they were either, you know, they were started as terror organizations, but they have morphed into basically they became the platform of for what an ISIS tried to become as well, which is to actually control the branches of government as well as these armed, they would call armed resistance, we would call terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are all directly connected to Iran. And Iran right now, Jordan, as we speak, they are attempting to do a similar thing in Iraq. They're trying to undermine and influence the established government in Iraq so that Iraq can become much like the Gaza Strip or where Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and that is directly connected with weaponry, with strategy, with influence to the nation of Iran. What Iran is trying to do, they're trying to establish an arc of influence that goes from Iran through Iraq, through Syria, all the way to Lebanon and to the border of Israel. And it's really a malignancy in the region, Jordan. And that's why Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Jordan, Egypt, quietly support Israel because they do not want this cancer to spread in the area. And it is a true malignancy there. Israel is trying to thwart what would be a major war by these attacks, trying to stop Iranian influence.
Listen to this. I mean, this tells you a lot. And Mohammad Zarif is the Iranian foreign minister. He was on CBS Face the Nation just yesterday. Now, I remind you that even the day before our midterm elections, the increased sanctions on Iran kick back in. So Iran is you will see this kind of PR move internationally by Iran now. But listen to their foreign minister just yesterday on an American Sunday news program, CBS Face the Nation. Take a listen.
I think the blanket support that the U.S. provides to Saudi Arabia and to Israel has enabled them to carry out atrocities that would not have happened had there not existed this blanket support, blind support.
And I mean, Harry, I'll go right to you there. That is the Iranian foreign minister tying these two groups, two countries together that the U.S. works with in different and unique ways, but trying to tie publicly what is not been acknowledged by Saudi Arabia publicly, but that they are somehow that working together against Iran. That's why he's trying to go after them, obviously.
You're absolutely correct. Essentially, what the Iranian foreign minister is trying to do, he is trying to deflect attention away from the Iranian malignancy, the Iranian atrocities in the Middle East, by blaming the atrocities that are ongoing in the Middle East on Saudi Arabia and Israel. So essentially, it's outrageous. Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror in the world, period. And it's clear beyond question that Iran has a plan in mind. They are attempting to mastermind control of the Middle East, in Syria, in Lebanon, and in Gaza as a launch pad for future wars for control of the Middle East, extending to Yemen and essentially to the Saudi Arabian Peninsula.
A lot of people also starting to ask it on Facebook. I know we've got a call in about it as well. We'll get to our second half hour. The Russian role in this, how are they aligned with Iran? Why are they aligned with Iran? We've got a book out about that. We will take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, as we update you on the latest news out of the Middle East involving Israel, how it affects our U.S. interests. And, of course, this is 8 days out from our midterm elections here in the United States. A second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up. A great time to get your phone calls in is right now, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're just joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast, let us just acknowledge once again and condemn the attack that occurred in Pittsburgh on Saturday against the Jewish community there at the Tree of Life Synagogue, with 11 innocent people killed, six injured, some critical, including law enforcement officials who bravely responded to a lone gunman who was fueled by anti-Semitism, something we must always condemn. And we work on at the American Center for Law and Justice in our work against the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement in the United States and on college campuses as well, and this ideological anti-Semitism. But you can see how that ideology can be turned, unfortunately, into this horrendous, to fuel this kind of horrendous attack. So we condemn that and fight anti-Semitism wherever we see it. But also, again, must be praying for those who have been innocently, those people who were killed, who were there at their house of worship for various reasons that day. And so, again, our thoughts and prayers with that community. And as we focus in on what is happening around the world, we've seen whether it was the bombing incidents that occurred, no explosions, and thankfully no one was injured. That person gets apprehended in Florida, who was responsible for that. There's been a lot going on in our own country that has taken away, rightfully so to some extent. Obviously, you've got to focus on what's happening in your country, but to understand what's also happening around the world, because then we had to shift back into politics as well, midterm elections. But all of this affects us as Americans. So what is happening inside Israel? What is happening in the Middle East? Very important. Hasn't gotten as much attention in the last few weeks. I think it deserves so today, because this increase by Israel and their response to the radical groups operating out of the Gaza Strip, many who are headquartered in Syria, and also an increase there in Israeli actions inside Syria, being backed by the White House, being backed by the Trump administration. We want to go to the phones about this as well, because there's another factor in this we haven't yet addressed on air. We mentioned it just during the break, because we got comments coming in from Jason on Facebook, and also a call coming in from Phil in New York online too. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Yeah, you're on the
air.
Thank
you very much for taking my call. It means a lot to me.
Thanks, Phil.
You anticipated my question. My question is, Russia is close to 90% a Christian nation. Why are they allied with a terrorist Shiite theocracy in Tehran?
Yeah, so one, I would say you've got to kind of divorce the people oftentimes from the governments, especially in countries like Russia, where the foreign policy of the government oftentimes does not match up to the views of the people. So the idea here, again, it's not so much Russians being anti-Israel West. It's the Russian government, even, because they will work with the Israeli government when it's in their interest. It is the Russian government working for their own interest. They, like in China, I would say, have warned all these countries. They are not ideologically tied to anymore this idea of spreading around this view of communism. Or they don't have that anymore. So it's all about their own interest, ultimately.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't have the other ties of like Iran's got the ideological tie-in to why they want to support these groups. Russia's doing it for themselves.
Absolutely, they're opportunistic. They're looking for what will forward their own national interest. And Russia, what they're looking for in Syria, to the caller's point, first of all, while the people of Russia are 90% Orthodox Christians, the government is not a Christian government.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, Russia, they want to have a warm water port permanently in Syria on the Mediterranean. So that's part of their strategic interest. But also, Russia is supplying Syria. They're trying to prop up the Assad government with anti-aircraft missiles. It's a volatile part of the world, and maybe we can talk about that in a moment, but it's a tinderbox. It's hard to predict exactly what will happen there.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got a lot of different players, and I think our callers bring it up again. You could focus on, but you also have to put the puzzle together as you are looking at what's happening inside Israel. We will continue to take your phone calls on this. How important do you believe these foreign policy issues will be to the midterm elections, or do you think everyone is focused on domestic issues? Will they ultimately vote on their pocketbooks? 1-800-684-3110, 8 days out from the midterm elections. So this foreign policy, how much of an impact do you believe it will have? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110, as we update you on what is happening in the Middle East and Israel, specifically with actions involving Iranian-backed groups like Hamas, Islamic Jihad. What is a lot is emanating out of Syria as well. There's is increased focus there on what is happening in Syria because you've got the world players like Russia and Iran, of course, fighting for influence on their own. Iran has always used Syria as, in a sense, a proxy. But they haven't established a full-on military presence there. They've had their Revolutionary Guards with offices there. They've used it as a kind of place to transport and utilize as a weapons flow to groups like Hezbollah and a financial flow to groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. But what they don't have is massive. You're not going to find Iran's a military base that's official from the government of Iran or the Islamic Republic. You wouldn't find that, but there's concern that you would, that Iran is working towards that inside Syria now. And really, we, as the U.S., we kind of don't focus as much on Syria unless there's an atrocity by the government there, since ISIS has, for so much part, been defeated on the ground, we don't spend as much time in the U.S. media, maybe, and we don't hear our politicians talking about it as much. There's still a lot of action going on in this region. There's also the concern that Russia tried to establish the permanent. They've got the temporary military responses there, but permanent military bases inside Syria and the issues that poses to Israel, but also the United States. This is interesting. I mean, the Iranian foreign minister, I want to talk about this too, these new sanctions they're about to kick back in on Iran. This was all part of the Trump administration pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal, the JCPOA, the Joint Plan of Cooperation. So the Iranian foreign minister goes on one of the Sunday shows. He's asked, interestingly, by the way, and listen to this, because you would think if you were a country in this region that was trying to convince the U.S. to come alongside and not sanction you and not really isolate your economy, you'd have a different answer. But listen closely to how Mohammed Zarif answers this question from the CBS Morning Show reporter.
I think, reading between your lines, you're saying that Saudi Arabia is a poor ally for the United States and Iran would be a better one.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm saying that the United States' choices in the Middle East are wrong, and these wrong choices lead to the disaster in our region.
You know, what's interesting there to me, Wes, is that right away he gets asked the opportunity, would it be better for the U.S. to work with Iran as a partner than Saudi Arabia? And he says, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, there's still the inside the Iranian government, and again, trying to separate from the people, but inside that government, a radical hatred for the West, and it's not just Israel. It is death to America that is chanted outside by in these government rallies.
Oh, absolutely. Iran still refers to Israel as the little Satan and the United States as the big Satan. Yeah, the fact that he could say that with a straight face says a lot about how convincing they can be to unwitting people who might listen to them. It's a volatile part of the region. A lot of potential repercussions to any actions that are taken. As we said earlier, Israel's trying to ward off a major war. Russia is involved. They are providing, in an attempt to prop up the Assad government, you know, anti-aircraft missiles, and just last week announced they were sending a more advanced S-300 anti-aircraft system to the Syrian military, which could really put Israeli pilots in danger. And by the way, we do provide some support, especially intelligence to Israel, as far as where Iranian-backed forces and their proxies are. They do have some troops in Syria. Again, it's a volatile part of the world. The Quds Force and the Revolutionary Guards are there in some numbers. What people sometimes forget, though, and that is we have 5,000 United States troops still stationed in Syria as well, trying to get rid of the final pockets of ISIS and what have you. And so the potential for missteps is great. I think Israel and the United States are trying to be responsible to ward those off. Iran and to a certain extent Russia, they continue to do things which make some of those mistakes more likely to happen, and that would be very regrettable.
Do you think that people are still voting on this? I mean, I do think that people are as engaged on the foreign policy issues as maybe they were 2 years ago. Are they, or is it because of groups like ISIS? As Wes said, you know, there's still the U.S. military there fighting the pockets left of ISIS, but is their influence and power dwindled so significantly? And even there, what was happening all around the world, including in our own country, but in Europe and in Western Europe specifically. So is that kind of decreased? Are people, I mean, there's definitely not as much attention on what's happening overseas. But also, do you think that people maybe stop voting on it? I'd like to hear from you how this is influencing your decision to vote in the midterm elections. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We talked about this idea that Iran utilizes. Now, this is coming in because there's new sanctions that will be go into place against Iran just next Monday, so a week from today. But in this idea of using aircraft to transfer weapons. Joe's calling in from Florida. He's got a question about that on line three. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I think Wes may have answered a part of my question. If, in fact, it's Russian civilian aircraft that are transporting these sophisticated guidance systems. And my other question would be whether we have a means to impose sanctions against those airlines for their participation.
So a lot of this was reopened up, both the airlines and the manufacturers of the aircraft themselves, was reopening through the sanctions, Harry. When the sanctions were removed by the Iranian nuclear deal by the Obama administration, suddenly the aircraft industry, so those actual manufacturers, and then also private, you know, the actual carriers as well, start looking at Iran as a potential to do business with.
Absolutely. So the United States is looking at imposing, and has already imposed, very broad-based sanctions on Iran. And so it has severe implications both for aircraft manufacturers, but also for airlines. And most European companies, as well as most American and I think Canadian companies, they have already reduced their involvement with Iranian authorities. Why? Because the sanctions are either already imposed or they're coming. So on November the 5th, we will see a new sanctions on Iran, and those sanctions will continue to serve to deter Iranian authorities going forward. But in my view, it's very, very possible that we will need to create new sanctions to bring more pressure to bear on Iranian aggression throughout the region and really throughout the world.
To the caller's point, though, it's not Russian aircraft that are transporting these weapons and weapons technology. They are Russian-made aircraft, but they're flown usually by Iranian air. It's a civilian carrier's Russian-made planes flying out of Iran.
Yeah. You'll see this. I mean, depending on where you've all traveled around the world, where you've been, I mean, you will see that. Obviously, there's these top-line manufacturers. There's your Boeings in the United States. There's Airbus in France of civilian aircraft. But there are many countries that are not able to purchase those. Some because of economic reasons that the airline, the carriers couldn't afford it, or second, because of sanctions. So then you will see the aircraft that you may be flying on is actually manufactured in Russia or China. But oftentimes it's the carrier would still be flown by domestic nationals, so not by foreign nationals. You know, it was equipment that was sold off by countries who either didn't have sanctions, so at the time they weren't as broad. They weren't international sanctions. That has been one of the issues with the Iranian nuclear deal, is that though the U.S. is reimposing very tough sanctions, and that will affect and already has affected European businesses and countries and businesses that are based outside the United States, it is how a Russian-made aircraft gets into Iran's civilian, their commercial airline industry, is because the international sanctions that were so dramatically pulled back by the Iranian nuclear deal.
Yes, and in addition, it's important to note that the reach of American sanctions, for instance, on Iran, may in fact be somewhat muted by virtue of the fact that we are dealing perhaps with Russian-manufactured planes. But it's also important to note, but by way of background, that the United States has also imposed some sanctions on Russia, and hopefully those sanctions will continue to bite.
Folks, we have a lot to talk about. Our final segment, we want to get into the midterm elections as well, just 8 days out. Tomorrow is officially 1 day out, but many people with early voting, it's the voting votes are already being cast. Many hundreds of thousands of votes in each a state have been cast. So we'll talk about that. We'd love to get your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. These issues like Israel, like the caravan in Mexico, which we can update you on as well, how much of an influence you think they will have on the midterm elections? Just 8 days away. Give us a call to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. A time to kind of let your views be known on politics. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
James on Facebook writes, thank you to the ACLJ for taking the time to explain these complex geopolitical issues to our listeners. And I want to say, James, I appreciate your thanks. I appreciate our audience, which engages on these issues and gets updated. And I do want to kind of underscore to all of you that the way we're able to kind of put this together for you to totally live broadcast and have these discussions is not off the whim. You know, it's not, you've got to know, have a lot of a base of information to be able to have the updated discussions that go along with the news of the day involving Israel. Got to have a lot of knowledge behind that to be able to just jump right in and discuss a Saudi Arabia's role or a Russian role or Iranian role in these regions of the world. And of course, ultimately, our own interest as the United States government. So, James, I really appreciate that. We are going to talk politics in this final segment as well, as people, again, are already voting or preparing to vote, as the midterm elections are officially 8 days away. That countdown, I remember when we were back, it was, you know, 50 days away, 60-something days away, it's just 8 days away now. There was a lot of, because of what's happened, the uncertainties around those devices that were being sent last week and that person ultimately being captured. Thankfully, in that situation, no one getting injured. But then that horrendous attack Saturday in Pittsburgh, there's not been as much focus really in the last 10 days on what's going on in the midterm election. Sometimes when the president has done a rally, there's been a renewed focus, and then the news goes back to what else is happening. But we're only 8 days out now, so I want to get people's thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. Joseph calling in from New York on line one. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Joseph.
I just want to say that up here in New York and New Jersey, many Republican congressmen are in a bad situation because of dissatisfaction with the tax cut bill.
So actually, the tax cut bill people actually were... Yeah, explain that to some of our audience, Joseph, because they may be surprised when you just said that people would be dissatisfied with tax cuts.
No, the reason they're dissatisfied with the tax cuts is that many middle-class homeowners are actually going to see a big tax increase due to the elimination of, well, elimination, but the capping of the state property tax and...
And that was one of the focus, again, on... Yeah, right. So that was one of the focus, and I can kind of explain this to people, Joseph. This is how you get into these issues that are affecting... It's why I appreciate these phone calls. What's affecting races that we may not all be seeing as just national issues. But remember when the tax cuts were coming through, there was this idea that in blue states where you had much heavier property taxes and you were able to write that off, and you're no longer able to do that to the numbers you were able to do. Doesn't affect people in a lot of the, I'd say, more... moderate states or red states, but in the bluest of blue states, these huge state bureaucracies would have these massive taxes that then they would expect people to be able to kind of get haven from through their federal taxes. But you talk about how this will impact specifically those New York congressional races, and I look down at just real clear politics of the toss-ups just in New York and New Jersey, and I'm counting there's four there. Right down in the toss-up category that are critical to how the House of Representatives ultimately, whether it remains Republican or not. And then if you look at leaning one way or the other, you can add another another five seats in New York and New Jersey that are up just in the House of Representatives. So I do believe it's important that we get updates on, especially as we will continue to talk politics, as we move into the midterms that just 8 days away, that everything is not about a national issue or the big kind of big picture issues, that politics is local to an extent as well. And that sometimes you see that even more so out in the congressional race, in a House race, in a specific region, and it may not get as much pickup nationally as the big issues about, you know, economy, but what are the sub-issues under that? Or tax cuts, but what are the sub-issues are under that? And how it affects how people will vote. And now you've also got the, you know, they like this issue of the caravan. there are people talking about this all over the country. I mean, we're talking about it to all of you listening. Now, that includes people who are calling from, you know, upstate New York, and people who are calling along our southern border and everybody else in between. You know, so those who are directly affected in a sense by the individuals who would be making the cross, and then the whole country, how it's affected as well. Take a listen. This is our Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen updating on, and I want to remind people there's been an increase now in the amount of troops authorized from 800 to 5,000 that will be along the border preparing for this, as still the hope is to work with Mexico to prevent this massive wave of individuals from coming to our border and then having to be processed. Take a listen.
I think what the president has been saying and will continue to say, and certainly what I have been saying, is this caravan is not getting in. There's a legal way to enter this country. Those who choose to enter illegally will be stopped. We are working with our partners in Mexico. They have taken unprecedented efforts within their territory to ensure an orderly flow and that those who have no legal right to be there are removed. We intend to do the same.
And, you know, that again gets the issue, Harry, ultimately, does the United States implement the law that, like Mexico should be as well, if you are someone actually that is fleeing, if you are actually someone who is making a legitimate asylum claim, you're supposed to make that claim in the first place. You're safe. First place, basically outside your home country, so long as you're safe there. What we're seeing is oftentimes in this case is people saying the Mexican government has said, stay here, we'll provide support, you know, to these specific parts of these groups that will show up in, you know, Mexico City or other cities. They say, no, we don't want to stay in Mexico. We're not going to stay here. So even though Mexico is trying to implement that, it's also up to the U.S. to fully implement that, which means rejecting claims right off the bat, even if they are would be otherwise legitimate. So tough situations, it's why I think our laws, it's been an issue, is that we allow some wiggle room because you could be then and would be rejecting claims that otherwise could be legitimate, but for the fact that people are using those claims to only come to the country of their choice.
Absolutely. So based on international law and international convention, individuals who have legitimate asylum requests, in other words, they claim refugee status, they are supposed to claim that status in the first safe country they enter. And it's clear beyond question that the Mexican government has taken affirmative steps to accommodate members of this migrant caravan. But many members of the migrant caravan have simply rejected Mexican offers. This is consistent, however, with the political objectives associated with the caravan. It's important to note that the caravan is sponsored, at least in part, by a U.S.-based organization that is trying to push this caravan for political purposes. And we must protect our border consistent with our values, so we should not use undue force, but we need to protect the rule of law and the fact that we are a country of laws and not of force.
Folks, we will continue, of course, to talk about all these issues and how it will impact the makeup of the United States House, the U.S. Senate, state houses, a lot of state governments as well. Tomorrow will be a week away. Today, 8 days away from the midterm elections. I will continue to bring you up to date on all the issues. Go to ACLJ.org as well to see what we're doing around the world and in the United States. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.